All right, so thanks so much for joining us on Packaging Unboxed today. I'm super stoked. We got Kevin Johnson, who's with the Denver Broncos. Kevin, man, how's it going, dude?
Good, good. Thanks for chatting with me today.
No, man, this is so cool. I've been seeing all the stuff you got going on Instagram. You got tons of packaging, tons of design. So let's just start at the beginning, right? Like, what got you into design?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've had that creative gene since a young age. And it's funny when I think about my career now and I look back at my childhood, some of the things that I was doing, it's wild how stuff can come full circle. You know, back in the day when I was younger, my dad worked at a packaging company. He was a plate maker. So they were making boxes for like Lionel Train and Tylenol and Tide and all sorts of crazy things. So he'd hook me up with some scraps of cardboard or paper stock. And, you know, those would kind of be my canvas and come home and draw and create. And then as I got a little bit older, I started doing like tracings of football helmets or college sports logos and different sports based things. I don't know if you remember the And One brand, but I'd send him with some And One like tracings, and he'd just make copies for me, bring them home, and, you know, I'd color them in different colors, and it was all sports-based. You know, I would, the old Bart Simpson, I traced it, and I left kind of like the jersey empty so that I could customize it. And I colored in, and I made a Spurs jersey, and I mailed it to David Robinson one day, and he signed it and sent it back to me. Which was wild. So like, I have all that stuff, and never at that point in my life did I think about, you know, making a career, one, in design, two, design in sports. So it's been wild to see it all come first full circle and get to work to that stuff. I've always been inspired by Nike sports design, kind of their 90s advertisements, Ken Griffey Jr., really kind of leaning into that older, you know, Barkley Jordan. Style of advertising is always really kind of like just been inspiring to me. So that's kind of like how I guess I started before I even knew I was starting.
When you started, yeah.
Right. And then, you know, what, at 24, I got into minor league baseball, kind of like a dual role, because in MILB, you wear lots of hats. Sometimes some people are flipping burgers and parking cars and making programs and doing all that stuff. Thankfully, I was a little bit more focused on account management and then also design. I worked on our website, game program, and then just kind of more general design. So I was able to grow from an early start in the sports industry. And we worked for an ownership group that was acquiring more teams. So then I got a taste of branding. When we would acquire a new team, we would rebrand and work through stadium builds and a lot of that side of, I guess, the team side. So I got a taste of that early on, and just I'm fortunate enough to align myself in organizations to continue my career growth and work through all of that. So from minor league baseball to the NBA to now the NFL, in sports and design for almost 20 years, which is pretty wild.
Right when you look back, you're like, holy crap, I've been doing this for
right
this like, I thought I was still 20, you know,
right? I feel 20, but when I say almost two decades, I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. And only in focused in sports. So tell us, what are you doing today? Like, what do you get paid to do?
Yeah, so my role here with the Broncos is creative director. So I oversee a team of eight folks: project manager, digital designers, print designers, web designers, mobile app. So we're working through the design aesthetic for a lot of those mediums. My job is brand direction, brand consistency, really trying to wrap my arms around the organization, just make sure that the things that we're doing across the organization have some alignment, have that consistency. If you put it all out on the table at the end of the day, you're like, hey, that's a Broncos brand right there. Mm-hmm. If you see something out in the city, you're like, that's Denver Broncos. So really working through that, you know, I'm about a season and a half into my role here with the Broncos. So when I started, I had two folks reporting to me. As I said, now we have eight. So we're just trying to kind of work through that alignment and find the synergy and what makes sense from a creative team build out. So I'm working through those things on the day to day. We're doing some fun things also with local artists in the city of Denver. We've been putting a lot of murals up in the stadium, working with local artists as well to design our game program covers. So that's been fun, just connecting, and, you know, me being new to Denver, having been here about you know, a little over 18 months. I'm still getting acclimated to the city myself, so it's been fun to connect with local artists, learn the city, learn who the creators are in this space, who's doing cool stuff, and then just build those relationships. So, you know, that's been a lot of fun.
So you moved to Denver.
Yep.
Right. For this gig.
Yeah.
And like, how do you start laying the foundation for like meeting all these different people and like networking within, not only is it a new job, but it's not just like, you're not just working at Kinko's in Denver, you're working for representation. Yeah. Of Denver, right? Exactly. So you can't be like, oh, I'm gonna inject my own design style into this thing. I'm gonna change things up. You gotta like learn the culture and kind of and be able to breathe that. So how do you get started doing something like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I got connected with a prominent artist here in Denver doing some really cool stuff. He goes by the name of Detour. He does a lot of just really cool murals in space. So I got connected with him. He made some recommendations of other artists doing some fun, exciting things in the area. Vetted those folks, connected with them, was like, oh yeah, hey, I really like what you're working on. Like your vision, I like your style. Determine what feels right for us and the projects that we're trying to do here. So that helped. And then, man, social media, the power of social media kind of helps the rest of the way. Just whether it's me going out in the areas, we've got a lot of pocket neighborhoods in Denver. So Rhino is a really big arts district. So if it's me just going out in Rhino to grab coffee, and I'll find myself walking through the alleys, looking at the local art and seeing who tags what. And then I'll head to their social media and I'm like, hey, I like your style. I like what you're working on. Do you have space? Can we talk? So I did a lot of sliding into DMs and trying to connect with folks that way, which has been awesome. And then as I've gotten to know more folks, you know, the artist scene has been great. And they've been like, hey, you should talk to so-and-so. So I reach out to them and kind of learn more about those folks as well. So kind of starting from zero to now having a, you know, a network of anywhere from 15 to 20 artists that built up has been awesome. And, you know, ownership's been great at championing local art in our facility. So, you know, they're always excited to find space and opportunity to put more art in here. So, you know, we started it this past season. We've got about 6 murals in the stadium and hoping to add, you know, anywhere from 2 more the end of this season to hopefully we start next season with another 6 somewhere in the stadium.
I think like the crazy part for me is like I ran into you on Instagram, on social. I think it was like your season tickets box where you have like this break the ice, you break the top and you dig in. You know, the last time I thought about, so I'm not a sports guy, right? Everybody kind of knows that I'm not a sports guy. So the first time I saw like some packaging that was related to sports was, I think it was season tickets for the Raiders.
Yeah.
And they had like this crazy screen.
The box is wild.
Like, yeah. Like what under, like who ever thought, like who even has paper tickets anymore? One, actually receive something and then I see yours and it's like this break the ice thing and you dig in and there's like a field and flags and it's like, this is a lot of fun. You know, this is what packaging is, like an experience. So when you get into packaging, like how do you even start ideating what you're going to deliver and how many of these do you actually deliver? Does everybody get season tickets, get a box like that? Like,
yeah. So from a packaging standpoint, you know, as I mentioned earlier, like in minor league baseball, when I started, tickets weren't digital yet. So it was kind of like on the transition, but there were still a lot of the teams, a lot of fans who really appreciated that hard ticket. So we always think about what is the experience? How do you one, make the fans excited to pick it up off their doorstep, to recognize the FedEx box from insert team, that it's like, this is my moment, this is going to be fun, this is going to be exciting, and then create something where they want to share it, either leave it out on the table for their friends to see or post it on social for folks to see. So I think that's still, you know, even though tickets have transitioned to digital, there's still moments of like lanyards or different things that we can give our fans that's an experience, that's a moment. In this case, it was actually we were unveiling, we had just released our alternate helmet, which, you know, here in Broncos country, we haven't really changed our uniforms since 97. And so this was a big moment to introduce something new, and we wanted to create that experience. So we created about 150 boxes for brand ambassadors to send them a mini replica of the white helmet. With our CMO, she kind of has a toy background. So she was like, hey, I want this to be the full out experience, like steps, layers from start to finish. You have to quote unquote work for it a little bit to get the payout. So how do we kind of create that experience from, you know, a magnet enclosed to pulling out the instructions, to unfolding the instructions, to the feel, taking the field out. And then you, like you said, you've got that ice layer and you've got the flag, which is kind of like your ice pick. So you can kind of chip away at the ice layer, and then you pull out your helmet, you put the field back on it, and then you've got a display case for your helmet as well. So it's kind of like, you know, a multi-step program of getting from pulling it out of the FedEx box and having the end product. How do we create that moment for fans where like, this is cool, this is exciting, this is something that I want to hang on to, it's something that I want to definitely show off. You know, we posted the unboxing experience that we recorded, and folks were like, how do I buy that? How do I get one? this is so cool. So it was awesome to see that response. That's, you know, precisely what we were hoping for and what we were looking for. But, you know, from our side, we're tasked with that kind of creative ideation. Like, how do you take a box and create seven steps within it to create that journey? So, you know, it's a lot of back and forth with the vendor. What can we do? Here's a crazy idea. Can we pull this off? Can we do an ice layer? Can you make it out of acrylic so we can break it? Oh, we can. We get a sample and it's like, wait, it's not breaking.
Can't break it.
you have to punch this thing to really get it to break. Like, let's try again. And so it took a couple of rounds to, you know, get that ironed out, create kind of the shelf for the instructions to slide behind and have those extra layers. Like, you know, we get geeked about that stuff on the creative side because we don't get to do a ton of packaging. Maybe there's, you know, a handful of instances throughout a season where we're working on something like that. So that was fun to just kind of, you know, engulf ourselves immerse ourselves in that project of how do we create these layers? If we're unboxing it, like, what are the steps? Is there a ribbon? Is there kind of like glue that you have to unfold and really kind of work through that? So, you know, for me, it was just creative direction, thinking about our snow-capped narrative on the white helmet. How do we carry that through? What are the elements? If someone gets this and we put it against our reveal graphics on social, they should know what it is. It should connect. And then you just kind of, you know, I turn a designer loose and let them kind of create and bring stuff back to the table and hey, this is great. This sticks. Let's do it. Or let's tweak this. Let's work through these instructions a little bit more and kind of piece that together. So it's all a process.
Were there any crazy ideas that didn't make it where you're like, man, I wish we could just do that, but we can't afford it. It's technically impossible.
Yeah. I mean, we wanted to do some stuff with like pull ribbons and some things like that, but timing just didn't allow for it.
Yeah.
Budget also gets pretty crazy when you start doing acrylic layers and die cuts where you can break them and things like that. So we had to be mindful as we started to approach kind of the top of that budget. But, you know, that was definitely a piece of it. The Raiders box that you've talked about before, like that's insane. They've got lights, they've got screens, they've got noise, and that's something that their fans loved. And anytime that like our box vendor will come in, they're like, have you seen the Raiders box?
Right.
Like, showed it to us last year. We love it, but it's insanely expensive, but it's so cool. But yeah, those are the moments where you think about how packaging can make a difference. You know, when I worked in the NBA, our team had kind of these like internal company culture, we called them the isms, and packaging had evolved so much that we added it to the isms, where it was like the proof is in the packaging, and the whole description about, you know, why it was added is because packaging can make such an impact when you deliver something in the right way. You know, it's I think gone are the days of the simple envelope where you open it up to communicate your message, but it's like, how do you break through the noise? How do you wow? How do you create that experiential moment? And that's kind of what we started doing on the NBA side. and just, you know, even coming here, it's like, hey, we want to make a splash. Packaging. Let's do something that's cool.
And then this was, so that particular one that introduced the new helmet, you said there was like 100 of these that went out to influencers. How was it received? Like how, I guess, how many impressions do you get? Like, do you track that?
Yeah, we do. Our social team connects and tracks some of that stuff. We're still waiting for a recap on how that stuff went. I know there were half a dozen that were instantly shared, that were doing cool things with it. We saw some pretty good reach, you know, overall the whole white helmet launch was super successful. I think we had like something over, I don't even want to say the number because I'll mess it up, but it was like 12 million views over 24 hours or something insane. So there's a lot of great response to that program. But influencers were awesome. They were, you know, walking through the experience, sharing it with their followers. And then we just reposted it on our side, which is ultimately, you know, what we're looking for, kind of that brand traction and kind of expanding that reach a little bit.
IDP Direct, pioneering factory direct sustainable luxury, packaging, logistics, and design. They're not just manufacturers. They're your partners in eco-excellence. IDPDirect.com. If finding your spec data is a wild goose chase around your office, you've got a data problem. Specrite is the only cloud-based management specification solution that every brand needs. Because if you don't spec right, you'll spec wrong.
Not a sports guy, so it's like I'm going through, I'm like, man, there's a ton of design in sports. Like what?
Yeah.
So somebody can make an entire career out of just sports. Like you can, if you're a sports fan, you should be reaching out to these teams and be like, hey, I want to be a part of this. I'll like, you don't have to go all these different paths, right? Like I think sometimes as a young student, a young designer, you're like, oh man, these guys are doing great stuff, but I'm going to take a job here. Versus even knowing that this is a possibility, like you can be a sports designer. Like there's so many different opportunities within teams. So you went from minor, major, NBA, now NFL. Where have you learned the most managing creative teams?
Yeah, you know, sports are wild. They're always changing. To your point, you know, I think earlier mentioned it too. Like I never imagined pairing design with sports, but in the age of social media and in the age of just kind of breaking through the noise and making an impression, everybody leans on brand, and brand is such an important part from communication, fan experience, on field. So whether it's uniforms, field design, fan experience of our tailgating areas, wayfinding, how do we communicate and use design as kind of the language to help fans get through the building? That's a part of it. From suite renovations, you know, creative place into that. What stories are we telling? To then just the everyday stuff, social media design, our mobile app design, creative content is everywhere in sports, and we get to have our hands in so many things, which is amazing. You know, every day is slightly different based on what we're doing, whether it's, you know, an announcement of a community program to a player who just got player of the week, you know, anything from football to community. I get a lot of students who reach out asking questions, you know, hey, tell me more about the sports world. How can I break in? How can I be a part of it? How can I align my skill sets with it? So, you know, I love connecting with students and young folks trying to break into the industry because I was that person one day too. And when I did it, my wife says I'm crazy, but you know, when I decided I wanted to work in sports, it was a lot of just like cold calls, emails, snail mail to some degree of like, here's my resume. Here's what I can do. Here's my makeshift portfolio of stuff that I've worked on. And I reached out to about 50 teams because I knew I wanted to be in sports. Thankfully, I had three respond, and I landed, you know, with the one that I was meant to land with that really helped me just grow through the journey, grow through my design skills, grow through my understanding of sports from a professional setting and from a business standpoint, from a marketing standpoint. So I can kind of like talk both sides and kind of wear both hats to then grow to the point where leading a design team and directing was the next path in my career, to then taking a step in the NBA, being ready for that, which was kind of like the next big leap, being in the Big Four in sports, to then transitioning over to the NFL. It's been wild, but there's There's no dull days. There's no boring days in sports and design, that's for sure.
You didn't grow up in Denver. Who's your football team? Does it have to be Denver? Or like, do you have another team that you're like, I can't tell anybody?
Yeah, no, I'm a Denver guy. I will always root for, my philosophy is you root for the teams and the city in which you live. So I live in Denver. Naturally, I'm a Broncos guy, but I'll pull for the Avs and the Nuggets and the Rapids, you know, and our local teams here. But I have Cleveland roots, born and raised in Ohio, outside of Cleveland. So I'll always be a Cleveland guy as well. Pull for the Cleveland sports teams, you know, especially working for the Cavs. I'll always be a fan, Cavs and Cleveland, and love what the city's doing there.
I can't tell you enough how not a sports guy I am. And I'm thinking of like a few people that I know that listen to this podcast, and they're like, he's not asking the sports questions. Like, what is the sports question that I should be asking about a designer that works with the Broncos?
It's definitely a fast-paced environment. We're always, one, trying to be creative and cook up new things, yeah, but two, being reactive and working through what's happening with the team, what's going on in the city, what are we working through? So we kind of have to work through that and pull through those things. When the team is down, it's tough. We have to create content that rallies the city, that inspires a fan base, that is creative, that is engaging. It can be deflating when we're trying to do that and creating things, and you look on social media and folks just have negative things to say because the team's down. We can't control team performance. We don't have any piece of that, but you know, we can do our best to control the fan experience and create memorable moments when folks are coming out here and creating cool content, giving a glimpse of our team behind the scenes, mm-hmm, and helping create some kind of personalization with guys who wear the helmets and pads all the time. So, you know, we work through that stuff. But like I alluded to too, you know, when I say design in sports, like, we're designing for social, but I'm meeting with vendors on carpet samples and framing samples and countertops with our ops team. So there's like an interior design aspect of it as well. In previous jobs and even through the helmet, like, we're meeting vendors like Nike and Riddell on helmets and finishes and paints and colors and fabric swatches that comes through it as well. So it really is a lot of different pieces, which is why it's easy to say that like no day is the same.
When you're not getting all the love on social, like, do you ever take that personally? Right? Because you've created something to like rally people and you've got them bashing you. Like, does that ever bleed through to you personally, where you're like, damn it? You know?
Occasionally. I mean, we've learned that, you know, you're not gonna please everyone from a fandom standpoint. And creative is subjective. It's always hard. But from our standpoint, you know, we try not to dig too deep into the comments. Mm-hmm. We do invest a lot of heart and soul and sweat into, you know, the designs and the storytelling and what can we come up with. In the NBA, every year we had to come up with a brand new jersey. Every single season, the City Edition program, which after 4 or 5 years, it's hard. How do you tell a story that you haven't told before? How do you create it through the visuals of the uniform, through the court design, through the complementary graphics? It can be challenging, and we try to work through that stuff. And you know, folks who love the uniforms and folks who hate the uniform, and it's part of the job. It's what comes with it. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we're ultimately working to do what we can to inspire, to engage, and to rally. And we know that you'll win some and you'll lose some, and that's part of the gig.
So you've worked on jerseys in the NBA. So when we talk about this new helmet, like, what's that process look like?
Yeah, for me coming in on the Denver side or on the Broncos, having been in the NBA where we were doing uniforms every single year, new court designs, that was just part of the NBA life, part of the NBA culture. When I got here, it's like, man, we haven't changed our uniform since 1997. Like, we haven't made some changes other than, like, I think Nike introduced the Color Rush, which was new. So it was all about, how do we find ways to create something new, to create something fun, exciting, to change it up a little bit? And in 2022, the NFL started their alternate helmet program. So for me, it was learning a little bit more about that program. How do we get in? Can we do it? Timing, can we pull it off? So we started that process, asking the right questions, connecting with the league, like, hey, yeah, you can do it. It has to be paired with your alternate uniform. So think through that. So for us, with our alternate uniform being all orange, how do we create something that's different, exciting? Colorado mountains, snow-capped mountains. I really wanted to create this narrative with a white helmet around the snow-capped mountains. So we just started creating from there. There's only so much you can do with a football helmet. So it's simple in nature, but just coming up with clean design and accents that help connect back to our uniform, that tell a cool story of the Colorado mountains and snow-capped. And then we just start designing, you know, a brand set around it. Then we do influencer boxes, we do field design. We did this crazy ice throne where folks come and sit on the ice throne and take photos to celebrate the launch of the helmet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that kind of started it. And then we just, no pun intended, snowballed from there with ideas of how do we make this launch bigger and more exciting.
So what are the limits on helmet design? Can you go bigger, or is it just you've got like a 4x4 space and that's it? Like, how does that work?
You're restricted. I mean, in terms of the helmet is the helmet. Obviously, mm-hmm. from a safety standpoint, we're not able to make any modifications to size or structure of the helmet. It's sure. just kind of like that canvas that we mm-hmm. have to design on. So we think through paint color, sheen. Do you want to do matte? Do you want to do semi-gloss? Do you want to do full gloss? Like, we think through that. And then logo size, logo placement, what do you put on the front bumper? All of those kind of little accents and Easter eggs then become a part of it. So it's just how do you tell that story in a clean, impactful, different but exciting way.
Yeah. So you've got the top section, the side section. Are you able to blend those, or is it like you really limit it to like logo and color?
Primarily logo and color. I mean, some okay. teams can get have gotten a little bit creative with, you know, matte, but is it, you know, is there kind of like a shimmer to it? Is there kind of like a fleck within the matte? What can we do from a paint perspective on that color? That's where you can get creative. Logo, do you go logos on the side? Are they small? Are they big? You've got the stripe down the helmet. Do you go wide? Mm-hmm. Do you go narrow? Is it something that's a little bit more muted? Do you want a lot of contrast? You can think through those different pieces in the helmet as well. And then there's little bumpers that go kind of on right. the front and the back. So do you want a team name? Is there more of a campaign that you want to lean into? Like, we have some restrictions in the NFL there, but those are all kind of different pieces and places in the helmet that we can think about. Face mask is a piece of that. You know, we could have gone navy face mask on a white helmet. Yeah. You could go white. You know, we ultimately went white face mask, white helmet. We really wanted to make that thing fully white to lean in the snowcap narrative. That's an option as well.
Is there player involvement at some point, right? Because this is their work suit.
Yeah.
Is it, this is what we're doing? Or is it somebody's like, yeah, this, you know, I'm not into this? Or like, how's that conversation happen?
Yeah. Happen? No, that's a good question. I think it varies team by team. You know, mm-hmm. from my experience and my situations, players have been involved. You definitely want to loop them in, have conversations with your captains, get them excited about what we're thinking, what we're planning, what we're creating. Ultimately, if the team feels good, we're landing in a good spot. You want your players to feel good when they put it on. And we worked through that with our helmet, got some captains involved, got their feedback, showed them visuals, showed them mock-ups, kind of worked with them throughout the thinking process. And they, you know, they give us good feedback, because ultimately, yeah, they're on the field, they're getting their, you know, the ones getting their pictures taken, they're on TV. Yeah. We want them to feel good about what they're putting on.
So I'm just wondering if there's like, are there any players that are like your go-to conversation with design, whether it's, you know, obviously helmet or store design or field design or, you know, any of that stuff?
Yeah, I think players definitely care about their brand. And it's been interesting, you know, with social media, how players mm-hmm. can create and develop their own personal brand. On the NBA side, had some players who would connect with us like, hey, I'm trying to build my personal brand. Can we talk? Can we work through this? So, you know, we would sit with them and have some conversation and offer some ideas and some thoughts. Ultimately, you know, try to just understand what they're looking to achieve, what they want to do. You know, in the age of podcasts and, you know, video shorts and all that, I think players are leaning into creative to do their own things. You've got all these players doing their own podcasts just about their playing days or about fashion or about music or about sport, which is awesome. And kind of everyone adopting and building their own personal brand. So, you know, we get involved when we get asked to, when folks want to tap into us, when players want to tap into us, we have those conversations and kind of offer our thoughts and perspective on it. One of my favorites, the Kings, Sacramento Kings did it. It's been a handful of years now, but Willie Cauley-Stein was a player on their team, and they did a really cool series with New Era where he created some hats, and they had a lot of cool content where he's in the room with New Era, with the designers, they're working through swatches and designs. It was just really, really well done to see a player sit down, care about the creative side of it, want to tell those stories through hat design, and then ultimately pull together, you know, half a dozen hats that they sell in the team store. Fans can connect with, they can learn more about the player and understand him. Like, that has always been something that stuck with me. I love when players get involved and do those things.
Then, you know, we talked about packaging, you know, some of the other areas, but then we also have like this, like the retail space, right? Like your involvement in the retail space. You talk about like looking at carpet and some other things, but like as I look through the retail space, you've got the 20-yard line up above. Is retail space like something that you've studied, or this is something where you then lean into an expert in that space?
Yeah, definitely more leaning in. I mean, I've been exposed and immersed myself in enough from like store design and Nikes and House of Hoops and basketball culture and kind of what's happening from a store design standpoint to have ideas, to have thoughts. But we work closely with a vendor and an architect to help us kind of bring visions to life, whether it's, hey, we want dimension, I want texture with that turf wall, I want lighting, how do we make that happen? Because, you know, an example, it's like, I want lighting on that turf wall. The experts in the space have to remind me of like, we don't want to catch the wall on fire. Like, we need to find the right lighting that's not giving off heat, but kind of still pulls off the visual elements that you're looking for. So definitely connecting with experts in the space to help get us across, get us into the end zone, if you will, from the ideas to completion. But I appreciate being pulled into those spaces, being able to kind of come with the ideas, come with the thoughts, come with approaching it from a different lens, from creative, from getting a fan. You know, we've had so many fans come up and want to take their photos with that wall, which is amazing. Like, that's what we want, is the engagement in that space.
And I was in the Barcelona football stadium and then going through their store, and people are just, you know, taking selfies with the mannequins wearing the uniform. When it comes to store design, like, that's something that you never had to think about before. Like, what's this going to look like on social?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, and it kind of goes back to the packaging too. It's like, this is going to be on social. Social's changed design so much. Where before, you wouldn't have had to do like the layered. You didn't need that layered experience for a reveal, because it was more, okay, how are we going to get this on the news? How are we going to get this in print? Where now it's like, how are we going to get, you know, XYZ person to pull out their phone and share this, and what's that going to look like?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we like I said earlier, from a ticket drop when fans get their tickets at the start of the season, we've cigar boxes to home plate tins to thinking through creatively how does the package make an impression? And that's just carried. When we have new draft picks, you know, we would do meet the draft pick, so we would send a jersey, and we want to create a cool package that the jersey gets mailed in. Things that ultimately are grabbing attention, breaking through the noise. People want to share it. They're stoked to show their friends. They hang on to it. I have a bin. One, it's because stuff that I work on. I keep a lot of things that I work on, but I have a bin that's all just like boxes, tins, foam kind of inserts of how do we layer credentials or tickets or anything that works folks through that experience. Like, I have so many things down in my basement, just one, because it's cool and it's fun. And those examples from years ago still play today when we think about new ideas and packaging.
I'm looking through the Mile High Broncos wall that you have in store with like the orange, the illustrations. And it looks like a lot of fun. Just thinking back to when I was a kid, right, where football wasn't fun the way that it was presented. Football was aggressive and hit harder, be meaner. If you were in the Sports Illustrated with like, you know, a finger that's basically been torn off, but it's taped together, like that was
like, gladiator.
It was like the spirit of football.
Yeah.
And I look at this wall and it's like, this is fun. Like, yeah, that's a big shift. So is that masculinity changed in design? Like,
absolutely.
As I was looking at that, I'm like, man, this is so different from what I remember as a kid. Like, where did that shift happen? And kind of, where's that going?
Yeah. I think obviously, football has evolved from that gladiator mindset into, you want to protect the athletes. You want it to be a safe sport. You want it to be a long sport. You want it to be a sport that kids want to grow up playing. So yeah, there's that evolution of the game. But naturally, from a advertising creative standpoint, you know, we have here in Denver, we have a predominantly, like, I think we're at like 50 or 52% female fan base for our team, which is huge. And we want to connect to youth as well. So instead of portraying football as that mean, aggressive gladiator sport, it's fun. It's fast. How do we pull in music? How do we pull in fashion? How do we pull in art and make it a lot more of the experience for a fan coming out on game day to enjoy versus just you're not just coming out here to see some people hit each other.
Cool. So as we wrap up here, where can people learn more about you? Obviously, they can find Denver Broncos all over, but like you personally, where you want people to go?
Yeah. Instagram's probably the best place to see what we're cooking up over here at KJ Designs Things. You know, I love to showcase things that we're working on, things in my team is pulling together, just those cool moments throughout the season. Like I said before, you know, we're working hard. We put a lot of sweat and soul into the creative things that we pull together. So I'd love to show off, brag about my team and some of the things that we're doing. So yeah, if you're interested, check out at KJ Designs Things.